You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That is the plaque here in the pulpit. May it be so today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we would see Jesus today. Heavenly Father, we would hear Jesus today. Heavenly Father, we would be moved to love and serve Jesus today. Amen. It is always a joy to be back at the Advent. Grievances and gratitudes. If you have lived long enough, you will know that a full life is filled with both. Indeed, it can easily seem that the more good things that flood into your lives, the more you also have to deal with unexpected consequences, unanticipated complications, even unforeseeable heartbreaks. But then, that's just normal life. No one gets a pass on the emotional raggedness of everyday living. Grievances and gratitudes. If we can't live without them, how in the world can we live with them? That's the question. Should we try to hold on to both and use one to temper the other? On the one hand, should we say to ourselves, I shouldn't let these grievances get me too down because I have all these gratitudes as well? But on the other hand, should we say to ourselves, I shouldn't get too excited about all these gratitudes? Because I still have all these grievances to deal with. Well, that might sound like a useful way to never get too high nor too low. Instead, we can stay ever balanced, practical, realistic, ready for life come what may. Although that may sound sensible, there's only one problem with such thinking. Human emotions don't work like that. Grievances and gratitudes, they're polar opposites, and they devour each other. Gratitude cannot long abide where the habit is to collect grievances. A heart tethered to past wrongs has little room for current thankfulness. Instead, its very ongoing woundedness makes it far more sensitive to further perceived slights. More sensitive to that than the unexpected kindness of others. However, a heart being healed by thankfulness will be reluctant to admit again the toxic venom of bitterness and taint the hard-won happiness which it has found. So with grievances and gratitudes, it's one or the other. Which ones will we collect? Which ones will we let go of? It's an especially important question because letting go of grievances and holding on to gratitudes isn't just the secret to a successful Lenten discipline. It is the true secret to a great love. And a great love is the secret to great relationships. And great relationships with God and others. Why, that's the secret to a great life now and in the age to come. Take marriage. To be married is to be locked into being both physically and emotionally naked with one another. All of you, going forward, intertwined both your good and your bad, your sense of selflessness and service, as well as your selfishness and neediness. And as you age, your body will become increasingly weighed down by gravity. And if you are not careful, your heart and mind will be growingly encumbered by your grievances with one another. Some marriages face this challenge by striving to be a 50-50 partnership, each giving good to the other as long as the other is giving just as much back. But while that might sound again reasonable, it is actually fundamentally unsound, because all you end up doing is spending your time mutually counting to see if you are getting your due. And that fear of not getting what you're due, it's acidic to love, isn't it? It is so easy to find and keep grievances if you are always worried you may be giving more to your marriage than you're getting out of it. Love rarely abides where you have to constantly count whether it's worth the cost. No, the secret of a great love is to give everything you have, 100% without reserve, without regard for the cost, and not because the other person is constantly always having to prove they are worth it. No, you give everything you have to your spouse because that's the person you become when you are around them. Their love inspires you to love them. Their love brings out the best in who you are. To your great surprise and delight, it's your greatest joy to lose yourself in giving them joy. And then finding your truer self on the other side. To lose your life to find it, that sounds so counterintuitive, so risky, so vulnerable, so foolish, so much like Jesus, our Savior. In John 15, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. In Christ, God has shown us his unconditional love, that while we were yet his enemies, blaming our problems on him, thinking if he was just better at his job, we wouldn't have to deal with all the struggles we face. When we were rejecting him, he was dying for us on the cross. And what is the point of the cross? It's God starting to turn the world around, to set matters straight, to address all the hurt and harm caused by human malformed choices and dysfunctional human systems. On the cross, God laid the sins of the world on Christ so that by Christ's death, he could destroy all the grievances God has against each and every one of us, and destroy all the grievances we have against each other, and especially destroy all the grievances we hold against ourselves. In the midst of all this destruction of the old, God renews a right spirit within us, as we heard in our opening collect today. God's love begins at last to heal our wounds, overcome our past rejections, drain the toxins of bitterness from our souls. His selfless self-giving transforms us from the inside out. Now we can both receive unconditional love from him and begin to share it with others. Here is the glorious exchange of the cross. God takes away our grievances and fills our hearts with gratitudes. For only heart-deep thankfulness leads to true love. Why does God do all of this for us? Not, as so many folks think, because we first have to prove we are worthy of his love. No, he loves us selflessly like that because that's just who he is and who he has called us to become, namely, to love like he does. After all, that's the reason God instituted marriage, so human beings can experience selfless love, nurture it, and express it. You see, there's more to unconditional love that meets the eye. People often confuse unconditional love with unconditional affirmation. Unconditional affirmation is what your dog gives you, not your cat. But your dog. You go away for 3 weeks without any communication, leaving your dog with the vet, and then come back. What will your dog do? Jump up and down, wag the tail, come up and lick. We'll be just so happy to see you. May I recommend you don't try that with your wife? Unconditional affirmation means your choices don't have consequences. Unconditional affirmation means the pain our selfishness causes doesn't matter. But that's not the way of true love. It hurts to hurt the one you love. For love, by its very nature, seeks union, and that's especially true for perfectly selfless, unconditional love. If it seeks to inspire in the beloved a loving response as perfectly selfless and as unconditional as the love it is giving. But there's the rub. To receive unconditional love is to have a mirror put before us, showing how imperfect our love is, how often we fall short, how we struggle to return what we have received. To be given true love means learning to live with our failures, even as we seek to rise above them. Christians are to know God's perfect self-giving love personally, and they are to seek to pass that same self-giving love to all the relationships of their lives. Therefore, in this season of Lent, watch and wait for God to work in your relationships. Look and long for Him to give you the power to give yourself to others and to forgive others. After all, relationships are God's sandpaper to rub off our selfishness and the buffing cloth to bring out our finest grain. For knowing that you have and will hurt others in profoundly deep and personal ways, especially your spouse, and they still love you, that healing power is the secret of true love. Great relationships and the best possible life. As we said yesterday, the price of gospel love is first dying to self. In this penitential season of Lent, let us pledge never to give up on each other, no matter how hard it may seem at the time, nor how horribly wrong we or they or both may have been. Let us renew our promise as Christians always to forgive failure. As 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, to keep no record of wrongs, to let go of past grievances. This Lent, let us believe in the best in others until they and we can step into our better best. For only that kind of love outlasts gravity and grievances. Only that kind of love makes all things new. Only that kind of love brings deep human fulfillment and flourishing. And most importantly, only that kind of love honors God and spreads His presence in this world. As in all things, as always in my opening prayer, may God so move us to love like He loves today. tomorrow, and forever. In his name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.